undermined our holiday cheer. And we know it's almost Christmas by the marks we make on the wall. That's our favorite time of year. Merry Christmas from Chiron Beta Prime, where we're working in a mine for our robot overlords. Did I say overlords? I meant protectors. Merry Christmas from Chiron Beta Prime. On every corner there's a giant metal Santa Claus, who watches over us with glowing red eyes. They carry weapons and they know if you've been bad or good. Not everybody's good, but everyone tries. And the rocks outside the airlock, pseudomonia-scented snow, it's like a winter wonderland. Merry Christmas from Chiron Beta Prime, where we're working in a mine for our robot overlords. Did I say overlords? I meant protectors. Merry Christmas from Chiron Beta Prime.
All right. That's good enough. Good morning, Republic of Texas Radio. Today's date is Sunday, December 27th, and it's, well, a little bit past Christmas. Alan Crutcher is joining me today. Good morning, Alan. How are you feeling?
Thank you for making me opening my morning with a laugh, Steve. That song, when you first played it for me, did I say overlords? I meant protectors.
Yeah, I hear you. Kind of damn scary that in a couple of years, you know, we're only in 2020, right? The totalitarian police state, whatever. Our overlords are just getting started. We still don't got big metal Santa Clauses running around with blasters, but give them time. I have faith.
Depends on which part of the matrix you're living in, Steve.
Well, maybe somewhere. You might be right. You know, they shut down all the Santa folk in New York. You know, they have the drunken bar crawl every Christmas time. It was kind of like a weird thing whenever I'd visit New York to see a whole bunch of Santas running around, and then they'd swarm a bar. Well, they shut it down, and they said, COVID, my friend, you got to get back. And they go, well, I got a mask. It's a big old beard thing. Oh, it doesn't count. You know, get out of here. So, I don't know. I guess they're shutting down Santa first, then they'll take over Santa. I don't want to get too involved with Santa. Man, I don't even know where to start this morning. You know, I've got a few thoughts, Alan. I think the only place to start really is old Nashville. You know, Nashville is a small thing, but it's so much bigger than a small thing. It's dang crazy, right? Everybody was talking. You know, Alan, this is something I didn't get to tell you. I met a nurse, and she was telling me about how the computer systems over at our local hospital were out. And they were taken out during the bombing over in Nashville. And so all the file server that was supporting all their data records was offline, unavailable or something like that. So they couldn't even do lookups. They were just manually means sitting there talking to their computer, and it was uploading it to the central server in the hospital. But the server in the hospital couldn't go out and grab stuff from cyberspace, you know, the cloud, as they call it, because it was down. And I think
you're telling me that for a short time, doctors might have actually been helping people instead of just following computer protocol.
Yeah, actually, I'd say that they were on manual mode, right? But I don't know. Sitting there interrogating a person, I wasn't really interrogating her. She was just talking about this strange thing that was occurring in her life. You know, it's like, wow, I talk to a computer, I say give records, it's not give records, right? I'm like, whoa, really? You know, the internet was designed to circumvent these kind of problems. And as regular companies, not necessarily a hospital. I think that there should be a different standard for a computer network if you were a hospital. But then I digress. You know, to the point, you would think that, you know, a corporation, a regular corporation that was in fear of its life, right? Let's just say I'm Billy Bob's corporation, and I put up a web server, and I got a web server and a data center on the left coast. And then I go, well, what happens if the left coast goes away? Well, I better put one over on the right coast too. And I got to duplicate everything. And so, boom, Billy Bob's goes out on the left coast. And then all my clients and customers go to the right coast, and I just lose half of my everything, right? But I have insurance and whatever, and everything stays up and running. That was what we used to call redundancy. And that's something that's been missing in today's world. And I can believe it, but I can't, Alan. I really... You know, we were thinking about it in the 90s. We were planning about it in the 90s, and I don't believe that anything's done by mistake, right? It's all done. I mean, they wrote. But
Steve, you remember? I believe you were over here watching this with me. I believe it was the Arab Spring. Remember, we were watching that, and that's when the twits first came on the scene. Really, you know, everything. People were twitting, and they were getting the message out with twits. And then, as I remember, several countries just shut their internet service down, and those people couldn't be twits anymore. And it kind of got dark there for a little while. There wasn't all the information coming out because they managed somehow to shut down the unshutdownable internet.
Well, they did that with a very rudimentary shutdown in Egypt during the Arab Spring. They took their country's domain name servers offline, and just had a very limited scope. And then that meant that you went over there and you go to tweet.tweet.tweet or whatever the Twitter website is. I don't care. Don't care about Twitter. But anyway, so they couldn't go tweet and saying, I'm pissed off or whatever they're going to do. Here, look, my government's shooting people. That sucks. And that does happen, folks. But then that was one of the first instances that we've seen of government shutting down the internet. And we will see more. And it's more sophisticated now, by the way. But what we saw there was kind of like what you were getting at, Alan. It was a big promo. Arab Spring was a big promo for Twitter because every word out of their mouth was Twitter. And they wrote articles about how you can change your computer's domain name server's IP address and put in the Google domain name servers, the 8.8.8.8 and 4.4.4.4, you know, and then all of a sudden you're around it, right? You got out of Egypt. Woo! Now I can tweet and show how bad the government's beating up on me. But no one cares. But anyway, again, we're digressing. My whole point was redundancy, and I guess that was this similar. Ellen, let me tell you this. You know, I used to do this kind of crap back in California, and there was a building over on 2nd and Folsom. It was a central office, and in a central office, all the telephone lines, all the fiber optic lines run into this building. It's a big building. It's made of concrete and, you know, steel everywhere. Bam. An awesome, strong building, right? No, very limited windows and very limited ins and outs on the building itself, except for huge generators, you know, and air conditioning and this and that and whatever. And that's what this bombing thing seems to be up against. And the crazy thing is, so he parks his RV down in front of this big old, you know, I'd call him an armadillo building, right? It's strong, right? It's got armor on it, damn it. And go, boom! Who the hell? It blew the crap out of a lot of stuff. And it reminds me of the Morrow building, right? This thing where what is it, chicken fertilizer bomb, took one third of a building out. You remember that? Oh, no, you remember that.
Yeah, I remember that mainly because as I was watching that, Steve, they were saying that all this material was blown across the street into the building and parking lot across the street, and I'm like, no, wait a minute.
Wow.
I've been making gunpowder since I was 8 or 9, and blown lots of stuff up, and it's like I understand a blast wave, and it's like you're not going to blow parts of the building that's behind the blast across the street, you know, into the other on the other side of the street. And I also understand that an ANFO bomb requires heavy confinement. That's the only reason it's effective in blasting rock, is because it requires it's a low brisance explosion, and you know, and only you can, the more you get of it, you're not really going to get that much of a more effective blast. It will be larger, but it's still a really slow caveman type blast. And it's not real effective unless it's heavily confined. So go on.
Right. So the Morrow building, there's damage. Holy crap! Right. You know, you're going, wow. Reminds me of 9/11. We had a data center, and some of our services were taken out during September 11th, 2001, and you could actually see the server farm. Just the, you know, when those buildings collapsed, all the buildings around it took damage, right? And you could see servers hanging out the side of the building. And I'm like going, wow, that's some stuff, man. What are you guys going to do? Somebody had to go in there, and I don't know what the hell they did, right? You know, that took years. But there was physical damage to the network, or I'm sorry, the building. Now, when we look at this new one, right, the new one, and I think they all probably are very similar, you know, this new AT&T building, right, they call it an AT&T building, right? So maybe it is an AT&T building. I'm kind of getting conflicting ideas. What's the word? Information about who owns this building. And so it's an AT&T. It might be a hub or something like this. But if you look at the pictures, I mean, Drudge Report, I had to go to Drudge today to see what he was talking about. I really don't recommend anybody going over there. But he has a real brutal picture, right? He went through stacks and stacks of pictures to find one building totally decimated to run on the front page of Drudge. Wow, I look at it and go, damn, that did a lot of, what happened to that central office? Because that's really the target, right? They also say that the target was a Hooters that was across the street from the central office. And I don't know anything about that, but then I heard that. They say that he probably blew it up to get back at some, you know, I don't know. That was also a bunch of cockamamie bull. Who knows? But you look at that building, and if you can find the picture of this building, probably a good time to say we have a chat room. It's republicoftexas.chattango.com. I'll throw this one picture in, and if you have something else to throw in, you can feel free to do that. It has burn marks up and down the side of it, right? The architecture of these things called data centers or co-locations is all about redundancy. You ask yourself when you're building this thing, if I collapse this side of the building, will this side be alive, right? Do you have redundant fuel tanks to run your redundant generators? Do you have, what happens if this happens? You have two points where network connections come in. You have two places where power comes in, and all of them are underground. So now we've got this big outage, right? And I get it. There could be some stupid things that the humans didn't figure out or the people didn't figure out. Don't get me wrong. They might be people. They probably are, right? Let's just go there. But they might have made mistakes in their designing of the data center, but, you know, damn, dude, really? You got a little bit of torch out in front, and all of a sudden your building's down? You know, it's not like it even took a missile to the side. The other little buildings, Alan, they took damage because they're like old brick buildings and stuff like that. They're not this thing, which is probably made of metal and steel. I don't know. That's
kind of reminds me, Steve, you know, of supposedly, you remember one whole weekend here, cell service went out in this town. And, you know, this town, I mean, millions of dollars were lost, you know. And it took them, what, like 2.5 days to supposedly reconnect, a major, I guess, fiber optic line that was torn up by some dumbass on a backhoe. And, you know, I'm thinking, it's like, man, you know, I had the power blinked here, and then it actually mine didn't just blink, it went out. You know, so I plugged in my caveman phone and called the electric company. And, you know, within 20, 30 minutes, you know, there was a repair crew out here. And I said, yeah, it's more than likely the dead squirrel on top of the transformer up there, you know, shorted it out. And, you know, I mean, it didn't take any time for them to get my power back on. And I'm thinking, it's like, so it took them 2.5 days for a pair of, and like you said, redundancy, you know, if that line went out, was there,
yeah,
should there not have been another route they could have routed that internet traffic through? It devastated this town for a whole weekend. People lost a lot of money. And was that just a test to see what would happen? It's hard to say, you know, we're not they them. You know, and they play games periodically with us to see how we react. And anyway, go on.
Yeah. I don't know. This is a good rabbit trail. That's why, you know, I got an email Christmas morning with somebody going, another false flag. I'm like, oh, yeah? You know, you must be talking about the Tennessee bombing. But it has a lot of strange twists, right? Ken just chimed in here, and he was talking about the deep state voting machines were in the building. Those were servers by the Solar Winds company, who, well, had a bit of software that encrypts data from endpoints, and yeah, it was hacked, and nobody talked about it, and they used that on the Dominion system. They allegedly didn't use the particular piece of software that was actually hacked by SolarWinds. But SolarWinds actually owned the data center, right, before then. And they were owned by this company called Silver Lake Partners, who is another venture capitalist out of Menlo Park. And that's a long story all of itself. But they're all twisting together. And so the servers, you know, Ken says that they've actually, the SolarWinds servers, the ones that I guess contained voter information from the latest 2020 vote steal, you know, they had to be whisked away for safety reasons. Damn, these governments, great at saving us, huh, Alan? They were wonderful.
it's like this Nashville bombing, Steve. You know, it wouldn't surprise me since our FBI is on the case and there's hundreds of them working 24 hours a day nonstop trying to find out. You know, it wouldn't surprise me if it came out that the RV was owned by a Proud Boy and it was a pressure cooker bomb inside of the RV that went off, and it wasn't a megaphone on top. They had strapped and captured and tortured a transgender Amazonian pygmy to repeat this phrase until the bomb went off. You know, nothing that happens and most people, I'm sorry to say, you know, would just accept it. Wow, those Proud Boys are bad people, and it's like they even killed an Amazonian transgender pygmy, you know, and it was a pressure cooker bomb, so all of you people out there with pressure cookers, once again, you better hide and cower in fear.
Yeah. I thought about kind of that direction too, but right now, Alan, they're pointing the finger at the owner of the RV, right? He's the prime suspect. He signed away his looks like a condo in California, which is, I'm kind of like, what? And not the fact that he signed away his condo. He's allegedly was 60-something years old, and he had a house guest that's 29 or something like that, and whether it, that doesn't matter, right? And so he just went down and quick deeded the entire house to her, I guess, last month, and then drove off in the RV. That's kind of what they're saying. And there's people pointing to the fact that he was, well, they're not pointing to the fact. They're guessing that he might be, the government's guessing, that he might be a 5G terrorist. Like, oh my God, he was, if it was the same guy, right, that did this stuff, he's owned an electronics business, and he was a techie. And so because he was a techie, he could do anything. He can walk on water, he can jetpack in the sky, and he can make a big boom.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, you know, for a techie, he sure didn't do too good. You know, allegedly Timothy McVeigh did big boom, and this guy made little boom. Boom. Right? Boom. And I don't know. It's just very curious when you look at the two different things. And, yeah, you're probably right. They're going to say it was a pressure cooker bomb, and they're going to tie him to somebody or other and say that we need to, you know, go through a whole national re-education of the Proud Boys, white people, however you want to say it. It might be going that way this year anyway, because we've got the election going on, right? Isn't the election still going on?
It's still going
near the end. It is. I mean, seriously, you know, is Biden in charge? No. You know, would you be surprised if Trump comes out from behind and goes, hey, I think I'm going to stay? You know, I don't think you'd be surprised very much, Alan.
Well, you know, one good thing he's done, he did pardon that one guy. You know, he's not going to pardon any of the whistleblowers, but he did pardon a guy named, Charles, what was his last name?
Kushner.
The same name as his
Kushner.
Son-in-law. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just out of the blue. It's like, I guess even a high-powered Jew was so criminal that he got thrown in prison for doing something that even was too bad for even anyone to ignore. I don't know.
That whole pardon thing is kind of interesting, right? You pick and choose who politically you can let go or not. And I don't know if it's Jared Kushner's family bail out Donald Trump when his that was the 90s, right, when his assets were all underwater and he had no capital, something like that.
You know, it's one of the theories that I heard as to why he's there and why Colonel Mandel Kushner stands behind him all the time and has all the power, kind of like old Mandel House did under Wilson. You know, they're just odd things, and it's one of the explanations that if you kind of look and pay attention and think about it a little bit, it kind of makes about the most sense of anything that I've heard as to why Jared Kushner is there and has all this power, et cetera, et cetera. So it's just something to think about.
Yeah, there's a lot to think about. But, you know, this week I was talking to another friend of mine. Well, actually, he was going kind of like, you know, on the pressure cooker side of pissed off. You go from green to yellow, and you start hitting red, and you go, right? And just get mad as hell, right? So he's getting mad as hell. He's on the early sides of the red thing, and he wanted to tell me about it. Okay, tell me about it. Right? And so we sat and talked and did all this stuff. And, you know, I was telling him about the mask nonsense, right? And he says, Steve, forget about the mask. And I said, what? He says, the mask thing is, it's over. It's lost. That war is over. That's done, right? Put that one behind you and focus on the front. Right. You know, what's coming next? Don't keep swinging at what came. Right. That doesn't mean. And I'm going
take off
well,
the glasses,
okay.
Steve, so you can't see the signs that say obey, comply. Your government is good, et cetera, et cetera.
I didn't take it that way. And I don't believe he meant it that way. But it's like, focus on the targets that are in front of you, not the ones that are behind you, because they're behind you. The masks are going to go on. The normies, as Farron calls them, the normies out there, they won't believe you. You can't demonstrate to them. Look, you could get a briefcase full of literature. You can get a briefcase full of experiments to show how these masks don't work. You can point them to CDC documents, WHO documents, independent studies on masks and viral blah, blah, blah. You can point to the numbers of how many people actually die, right? And they won't believe you. They feel that this is something. So are you going to waste your time and energy going after feelings, right? Those feelings will crack. Is what I took out of that kind of conversation, but that leads me. I don't know where that leads me. Maybe it's bull, right? You know, but does that mean I stop fighting the mask nonsense? No. Does that mean to comply with the mask nonsense? No. Right? And I will comply at certain reasons if I have to do something, right? And I'll put it on and say, look, I look like a clown. Here you go. Hey, I'm just like you. Oh, okay. But no, I just wanted to bring that one up.
You know, that
what your thoughts are.
In today's world, you know, with what's going on, you know, even people who are vehemently against the mask, everything, you know, like our friend Susan, and I'm not breaking, I might be breaking a HIPAA law, but screw HIPAA. You know, she called me up, and I talked with her a while back, you know, talked for about 45 minutes or so while she was out and about. She was telling me that, you know, she got, she was at home, she got cat scratch fever, and she tried to take care of it, but it was a deep cat scratch. And it got worse and worse, and finally they took her, and they, you know, our wonderful award-winning hospital here couldn't help her. They were going to lifeline her to San Antonio or something. And she said, well, screw that. My husband's perfectly capable of driving me to a hospital that can help me. So, you know, she went, and, of course, you know, she had to put the mask on, and she had to get tested if she didn't want to lose her finger, because her finger was, you know, very infected, and it was getting into the blood poisoning. It was going to go systemic, and she was, you know, had a possibility of losing a finger. So, you know, she had to go along with it, and she hated it with a passion. You know, she did not want to do it, but she also kind of valued her finger and, you know, her life. You know, and that's where they've got us trapped. You know, at points in time, you cannot do it if you want to, you know, continue your existence on this little ball floating through space. So, you know, it's a hard choice. I mean, she hated every second of it, hated what had to happen, and she was very irate, and she's a very strong-willed person, kind of like, just real quick, as an aside, you know, you told me that, man, you had, you know, people, you heard a response from the show that I did last week, and most of it centered around my conversation with Lauren from Ohio. And I listened to Lauren, and man, I knew I could play with her a little bit, you know, like I came on and said, Lauren's doing, you know, what I would call ranting of a sane woman. And she goes, I know, I listen to myself sometimes and I sound like a nut, you know.
Yeah.
But folks, you know, we carried on that conversation for like 2.5 hours after the show. She called me up, and just talking with Lauren is kind of like, you know, when I was a kid, the house next door had a swamp cooler. And it wasn't grounded right, you know. And you'd go up and you'd touch it and you'd get this little electric jolt going through. It didn't make your feet smoke or anything, but I'll finish up with my Lauren conversation and just the fun I had after the break here.
Sounds good. Hang on, folks. Republic of Texas Radio. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
For over 20 years now, Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. I received an arterial switch at birth. In my mid-20s, I started getting slight runs of NSVT, Nothing too serious, but enough to cause worry. I started taking Extendivite a little over 2 years ago, and it helped cut the palpitations and NSVT down drastically. This isn't a cure-all supplement. I strongly recommend a good diet and exercise to aid in any heart troubles you may be having, and I strongly recommend giving Extendivite a try. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2 month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Okay, we're back. Republic of Texas Radio. We were just talking about the little swamp cooler. Carry on. You know, maybe you want to start that over from...
Yeah, I'll try to be quick, but, you know, it's kind of hard, you know, because there are so many good people out there, you know, and that's one of the things that helped keep my sanity is being able to talk to you, some of the RBN family out there. Some of us kind of, you know, some of you out there can kind of try us at times. Others are just a sheer pleasure because we are such kindred spirits, even where we're scattered across the country or across the planet or whatever. But, you know, Lauren, I imagine that if I met her in person and was able to shake her hand, or more than likely I'd give her a hug. I don't care what color she is or anything. That's a damn good woman. I mean, you know, it would almost be like that electric jolt. That's not real uncomfortable, but, you know, it's, wow, you know, it just kind of gets you. Because talking with her on the phone, like I said, for 2 hours and 2.5 hours, whatever, after the show, and it was just satisfying. I mean, you know, you come away feeling like you're not such an oddball. The same thing with my friend John the Plumber up in Joise. He gave me the best Christmas present. He called me Christmas night, and we talked for like four and a half hours, and he gave me one of the best laughs. We got to talking about today's, you know, about the generations coming up behind us, you know, and just the challenges that they have because of what they've been indoctrinated with. And he said, yeah, he said, these, like, you know, they've got these tattoos all over. I can't do John's, you know, Rye Joise accent or anything. He says, yeah, he said, and all this metal they have stuck in their face. He said, it looks like they fell into a tackle box, you know. And I do a lot of reading still, so I can still picture things in my mind. And I just got a picture. When I finally stopped laughing, I said, well, John, I said, maybe they are fishermen, you know. They don't have to carry a tackle box with them. You know, if they lose a lure, they just reach out and pluck something out of their eyebrow or their nipple or something and go on fishing. I laughed for 15 minutes. It was the best Christmas present anyone could have given me. It was just good, heartfelt laughter. And thank you, John the Plumber in Jersey and Barbara in Georgia that I've talked with. Y'all are just some of the best people, and you, like I said, make me feel like I actually belong somewhere. I'm not just such an oddball in today's world.
Yeah, I do like that about Republic, right, and about the alternate media as a whole. Republic definitely has a great atmosphere and a bunch of good people. What's coming next, man? You know, it's like, does that even matter? We've got the New Year's Eve is coming in a few days. You know, we've got the month of hell, January. And I don't know. Everybody's on edge. The gun stores are selling like crazy. Ammo's flying off the shelves. And, you know, both sides, there are only two sides to the Civil War.
It's one of those things, Steve. Yeah, it's one of those things, you know, the guns and ammo flying off the shelves. You know, it depends on how you can look at it. It's a good thing, even though the good thing would not be anything that any of us ever want. You know, we do not want to happen. We, you know, most of us wish that were, you know, peaceful, air quote, political means to achieve this.
Yeah.
But, you know, the system has been, you know, this has been a long-term plan. And they've, man, the control just the incremental control that they've gained, you know, here in town, you know, we've got code enforcers that drive around and rat on you if your grass is too high, or if they catch you your 89-year-old mother washing her car in the driveway, you know. It's like, you know, you can't be sure that Mrs. Kravitz peeking out the window isn't going to call the cops on you, you know.
I'll tell you what, Alan. What? Just kidding. No, we've got a freaking political base, right? The government here in Fredericksburg, and you know, from time to time, I get politically active, and you do once in a while as well, right? And that might amaze everybody, but sometimes, well, I've known you to do it once. Okay,
yeah, I've been involved in it enough to realize that I don't have enough barf bags to make me able to stay in those situations.
This government that we have locally here, they all have their own car, and they drive around in these expensive trucks, and they leave their engines running all the time, and they have cars, and, well, the cops do. Isn't that strange? Right? They must get up, and I guess it's in the name of officer safety. You know, they drive up, and then, you know, I'm driving for the day. That engine's on the entire day. You're like, really?
Well, you know, see, first time I really noticed that the police, the elite police, was when I went up skiing in Vail Beaver Creek one time. And you know what the police up there drove? They drove turbo Saabs.
Turbo Saabs?
Yeah.
Okay.
Not a cheap car at the time. That was an elite police force to keep the beautiful people safe and comfortable.
I think I'm going a little sideways here, but I think I remember when they started that. I used to make models when I was a little kid. And going in and looking at the models on the toy store, right? You're like, oh, look at that. It's a Mustang cop car. Wow, cool. How many of those cops do you think saw that car or a Camaro or this or that cop car? And then they grew up and then got to a place of power and said, we need this car for all my guys. Okay, says the pleb. Right, and you know, we're going to lease it. We don't even have to buy it. Isn't that great?
My favorite, Steve, is the Mad Max supercharged. What was it? A charger or something? Where he's driving along and he flips that switch, and the supercharger kicks in, and it goes, "Woo!" You know?
Yeah, that was an Interceptor, a big block V8 with a supercharger on it, and that car's still around. By the way, you know, it almost got wrecked. But that's another whole separate story. I guess I was talking about the cops a little bit because the early part, and I didn't watch any of this brouhaha that happened on Christmas. You know, I guess one thing is it was all odd. right? It was just odd. We didn't have a big MO. I've never seen a MO, a modus operandi. I guess they use that term to say they, I don't know what modus operandi, operating motive, I think would be.
Yeah. The plan. It was the plan, yeah.
The plan. Yeah, the plan is the simple one. Terrorists claim their crap, okay, usually, right? Sometimes they leave it a minute. State operatives, you know, okay. Was it Antifa, right? Nah, it's not like them at all. But maybe. They could be using different tactics. But the one part that got me, which was really, was putting the speaker on top of the car and doing the whole countdown. They say it's computerized voice now. Sounds a little like a woman's voice. Might be a woman computerized. Who knows? Right? So it's sitting there going, 15 minutes and get the heck out if you can hear me and all this other stuff. 14 minutes and, you know, after the fact and, you know, the big boom went off. The mayor gets out there and goes, we have 6 hero cops. Oh, you do, do you? Yeah, they're first responders. Oh, I really never thought you were going to say that. They risked their lives knocking on doors. And I'm like, man, really? The damn thing's not even over, and you're sitting there wanting us to gush over the police. Do your job, right? But I guess their job is to say, we were there, we showed up, and we knocked on doors. I wonder how many other, you know, real people were there knocking on doors going, hey, something's going on outside. But
kind of brings up reminiscences of Hillary Clinton's statement, Steve. We came, we saw, he died. But go ahead.
Yeah, I don't know. I just, there's a word for that again that they were going through, and it was just like pumping themselves up. It's the local politics, I guess.
We were doing wellness checks.
No, local politics. We got this new guy. He's not that new anymore. He came to us in 2012, 2011, and he was appointed by our city council member. His name's Kent Myers. He was a tool from the West Coast, and he was definitely a tool. But, you know, the first thing he did when he got in charge, he started every meeting like this. Okay, I'm like Kent Myers, and, I want to talk about my first responders. This cop, he's a good cop. Oh, no, this chick, she's a really good chick. So every time he opens the city council meeting, he talks praises on his entire staff. Oh, blessed are these ones that are mentored by thou. And I wanted to puke. I really, every time that I go in there now, I want to puke. Now, I get it. He comes from a kindergarten playground, for the lack of another word, where everybody needs to know they're good. Hey, Willie, that's really good. You tied your shoes right today.
You get a participation medal trophy.
He participated. Yeah. And God, I guess, you know, every day, every other week, somebody gets exalted, one of our. And why the hell does a city of 10,000 people have
it's called Delphi technique, Steve. It's very effective to those who don't understand what it is.
Yeah, they go, I want to be on his list. Find out if I'm naughty or nice.
I remember the first thing about him when he was brought in here, Nancy Battle going up and asking him if he knows what Agenda 21 is, and she said he turned to me and said, Agenda 21, what's that? And in his freaking bio, it says that he just did battle against Agenda 21 on the West Coast where he came from. I mean, when you get caught, deny. When you get caught even worse, deny even stronger. You know, it's
right. It's a, you know, oh, God, the term is gaslighting. Right? Mm-hmm. You know, you do and say something, and then you deny it even though there's evidence, and then they show you the evidence, and you deny that. Well, that's not right. You took it out of context. You know, that's, you never said that. You know, I'll deny everything, damn it.
That's in the past. We're looking forward now. We're moving forward. That's in the past. It's like, oh, yeah, forget your history. Forget what happened. Forget what got you in this situation. We're looking to the future. And that just, that phrase always kind of bugs me, even definitely when Hillary Clinton says it. But, yeah.
We're looking to the future. Well, what is the future? Is the future
dystopia?
$2,000 a week for the rest of your flipping life, right? Well, what's that $2,000 going to be worth if they give it to you, right? Because now we went from 2019, right, where a bunch of these crazy buggers, the Democrats, were screaming at each other saying that we need permanent money going to the people. I forget the term that they use, basic income, universal basic, UBI. We need UBI, right? So we need that. And now we're into Corona basic income, right? But we're not really, right? That's just a thought. And it's got to be a position. You know, the House passes a bill and it gives a whole bunch of money to everybody that, you know, is not involved with the United States of America, and it gives everybody $600. But they're not really giving anybody any money, Alan, are they? Because it's really borrowing it. So,
what I see, you know, just something I've recently heard, Steve, about how nothing has changed. If anything else, it's just progressing at an incremental pace. But you know, it's still, you know, it's two steps forward, one step back, or still a step ahead. Is I can remember Joyce Riley when one of these budgets came out, you know, saying, you know, they're giving like, you know, $15 million to study shrimp running on a treadmill. You know, Rand Paul just came out with a report giving someone like $200 million to study lizards running on a treadmill. You know, nothing changes; it just progresses a little bit towards more control, less freedom, less self autonomy. You know, being able to live your life as you want to, as long as you're not hurting anyone else. You know, in my opinion, an armed society still creates a polite society after all the turmoil boils down, because eventually even the Eddie Haskells of the world will figure out, it's like, wow, I can't just go out and get Bieber in trouble every time he walks out of his house, or someone's going to put a bullet in me or something. And it's like, you know, like I said, these people are not, they will never sit there and say, what? Oh, you don't like what we're doing? You don't like our extractions, our extortions, our repression and everything else? And it's like, oh, we're sorry. Well, here's all your stuff back. We'll leave. You know, they never do that. You know, it's, and like, no. I wish I could admire what they do. They're very good at it. And it's just, they snip a little bit of your freedom here. They take a little bit of your money, your source of income, your happiness, you know, and it's a slow incremental progression. You know, it's kind of like one of those things. It's like, would you rather, okay, we're going to kill you. It's like, would you rather us put a bullet in your head? Would you rather us, you know, hang you by your scrotum and throw darts at you until you're dead? You know, I'll stay alive a little bit longer. It'll be real uncomfortable, but I'll still be alive. And it's like, well, you know, you got to come to a point, you know, a realization sometime. It's like,
you need better choices than that, Alan. Come on.
But that's not what we're given, you know, except for doing what we're doing, Steve, trying to make enough people aware of what is actually happening. You know, people in the Patriot movement don't like to hear what I talk about. I don't like to hear what I talk about. I don't listen to myself. I don't listen to the rebroadcast or whatever. No. You know, I am who I am, and it's like what I see, I don't like. And, you know, but a lone martyr does nothing. And, you know, I would rather have, you know, at least someone standing behind me. You know, I would rather have them standing beside me. But, you know, something's got to snap. Something's got to happen, you know, sometime. And it ain't going to be pretty, whatever happens, folks. It ain't going to be pretty. Whatever happens, you know, every other country on this planet has experienced this crap. We are nothing special, you know. We were, at one point, we were given a whole set of values, and we were raised. We were given this perception of this great, you know, wonderful, fair, you know, even-handed country. And at one point it might have been. But when the corporations came in and the corporations became people and corporations could rape and pillage and do whatever they wanted to and have no one goes to jail. The corporation gets fined a small pittance of their overall profit.
Politicians too.
And no one goes to jail. No one is punished. I mean, it's crony capitalism. Whatever capitalism, the system is great if it can stay pure. You know, but
yeah,
anything,
what does that mean?
Nothing is pure anymore. Everything has been bastardized.
Right, and it's tough. No, I hear where you're coming from, and politicians too. It's not just the corporations. But what I was trying to get in there just a little bit ago was, you know, these snaps are happening all the time. You know, the snaps, and I question why I actually keep doing a show once a week with you, without you. Just keep doing it. What the heck is the point, right?
You're talking to the hand. Yeah, I mean,
most of the people out there know and can follow our conversation. The ones that can't, well, you know, they're the plebs. They walk around the world and they don't know anything about monetary conditions, actual true political conditions, you know, world events. Like we're sitting there today, we're analyzing, criticizing, you know, kicking dirt on, you know, the Nashville bombing. And oh yeah, I know it's devastating for Nashville. And I don't mean to belittle it, but I do, I guess. But it all doesn't make sense to me. But
let me say real quick here, folks. You know, the reason I dropped off for a while, it just like I said, sometimes it just feels like you're talking to your hand. Even though I know that there are a bunch of good people out there, you know, it just builds on you and it eats at you. And I disconnected. I mean, I basically disconnected from everything and just tried to relate with my local environment. But, you know, my local environment, eventually I have to venture out into the outside world. And, man, except for one young cousin here who's he's young and he's upcoming. And, you know, if there's any hope in this world, it's from young men like this. And, you know, and it's just, I started to go stir crazy. It's like I miss being able to converse with y'all, with people of like mind. And you know, the callers at times, you know, for most part, you know, the callers we get, man, they're great people. I love talking with them. Some of them, you know, it's like we might be working towards the ultimate goal, see things differently, you know, the mask, no mask, blah, 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 whatever. We've all got different, you know, different degrees of understanding and learning. You know, my background was, you know, embryology, developmental biology, microbiology, environmental biology. I've got a lot of business background. You know, I paid my own way through college, and you know, and when I was getting close to the end, you know, it got to the point where it's like I found out it's like what I would have been good at. You mean I've got to become totally immoral, amoral, and not, you know, live in truthfulness and honesty, you know, to be successful at what I'm doing. So, you know, I'm much happier, you know, putting sewer lines 8 foot underground and putting in water lines and doing renovations on houses. At least it's honest, you know, for the most part. I hate building bed and breakfasts, you know, which is what we've been doing, you know, renovating an old house and turning it into a freaking bed and breakfast, not for someone to live in. You know, I'd be much happier if I was building someone a house that they'd be proud and be comfortable to live in. But I'm building a bread and breakfast so people can come and get drunk and run around and spend ungodly amounts of money on stupid stuff, you know. But at least what I'm doing is honest, and I can look myself in the mirror and not want to just grab a barf bag and puke into it, you know. It's believe me, I'm back on because of you folks out there. Like I said, Lauren introduced me to a friend of hers, and we talked for like 4.5, almost 5 hours that last Sunday night, you know. A guy named Rodney, who is into free energy, and he does like solar systems, saltwater batteries. He's looking for ways to help people free themselves and get off, you know, gain some little semblance of independence in today's world. You know, it's people like that help me keep my sanity, and it's a lot of y'all out there just being able to talk with you periodically and have you listen to me. I know sometimes I get on a rant and I'm all disjointed. Because, like I said, I see the world as like a giant ball of yarn. everything in today's world, especially the digital world, you cannot talk about one thing because everything is interconnected. Now, through incremental process, everything that we do has been ruled, regulated, ordinanced, licensed, you know, permitted, something somehow. I can't even really almost enjoy going out fishing because I'm afraid I'm going to get, you know, arrested and maybe shot or tased by the frickin' game warden, you know? Today's world just is baffled.
I know. It's all crazy, man. You know, I don't want to say there's hope. It's just there is. Alan, the reason I went down that rabbit trail is because you said there is schisms, or maybe, yeah, I think you said that. And there have been little breaks. And this year has been incredible for dragging people to the alternate media. I've seen so many people, as we call them, wake up. Now, they call their side when they go to sleep woke. Isn't that great? Well, whatever. It doesn't freaking matter as long as you can see what you can see, right? You know, one side sees hate and one side sees leave me alone, I think, right?
Every now and then you do get a bright spot. See, Steve, you see that little seed that you planted. You know, if nothing else, you know, break the surface of the ground and start reaching for the sunlight, even though, you know, it might not ever get the full potential of what the seed that it came from will be. At least it's starting to break surface and starting to see a little bit of what's really going on.
I got a call from the East Coast, and it came from a strange source, a friend of mine for a long time, and they were telling me about they were going to a Christmas Eve Trump meeting, right? And the last Trump meeting that they went to, they were raided by the cops. So this meeting is going to be held in a barn. And the organizer was telling them all to take their batteries out of their phones or use an EMP or a Faraday bag to cover them. And I said, okay. Well, I don't know yet. I don't know yet. But I thought it was, I would never expect this person, and I'd never expect people to be talking about putting their phones. I did that in San Francisco. I'd run into the hackers, right?
Now, Steve, if you told me this was your friend Jason, I would be probably on the floor right now. You're not going to, are you going to tell me it was Jason?
No.
That one would floor me.
I think he slid down the rabbit trail the other direction. But, you know, I'll tell you later a little bit more. But we're going to have to do the top of the hour. So hang in there, guys. Hour one gone. Republic of Texas Radio.
Is your property a financial burden and causing you grief? Have you tried to sell but can't find buyers? Or are you just too busy to sell your property? Don't worry. We have the right solution for you. We buy properties as is, with cash, close in 30 days, and pay all closing costs. Our service is ideal for property owners who are in pre-foreclosure, have high-end repair costs, experiencing financial hardship, going through costly divorces, are relocating, need cash for retirement, suffering family loss, or have tax liens. Whatever your situation may be, we can help you sell your property and get the money you need. If you own a single-family home or multiple family units, call us for a free consultation at 888-910-1037. That's 888-910-1037. Or visit our website at cashingproperty.com. That's cashingproperty.com. Sell your property fast and leave all your worries behind.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.